but it's a piece that I think will speak to us kind of by Sher Husham, kind of with all the different mixed emotions that we've had the last number of days. I think this piece will help us to address the different feelings and emotions that a Jew sometimes has. It comes from a sefer called Butzina d'Oraisa by the current Tolna Rebbe of Yerushalayim, Shlita. And in the Maimer, his first Maimer in his sefer on Lag BaOmer and Shavuos is called Luchos Rishonos Hislavos, Luchos Shnios Tznius. We know we had two sets of Luchos, but it's going to take a little time before we get there. Let's start with something which, again, will help us to understand the mixed emotions that a Jew sometimes has in his heart. Okay, Issa B'Gemara Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, you guys know this Gemara, it's a famous Gemara. Darash Rabbi Simai, B'shal She'egdimu Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma. At the moment that the Jewish people said the amazing Chiddush of Nasa before Nishma, imagine signing a contract before you actually know what the terms of the contract are. It's an unfathomable thing. Who would do that? Right? Imagine, you know, you apply for a job, you get the job, and the person presents you a contract, and they cover over all the writing on top, leaving just a little space on the bottom. It says, sign here. And you say, can I read the document? No, just sign it. Right? So it would take tremendous confidence in your employer to sign up for something that you haven't even discussed. So when the Jewish people were machadesh, nasa v'nishma, were prepared to do it before we even know what it is, 600,000 angels came down from Shemayim, and they placed upon the heads of each and every Jew, shnei kesarim, two crowns, a crown for Nasa and a crown for Nishma. Okay, beautiful. Va'od Issa Sham, and the Gemara further tells us, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Bishal Shekdimu Yisrael Nasa l'Nishma, at the time that the Jewish people said this two-word phrase, which was an unbelievable chiddush, Yatzta Baskol v'Amar Lahen, Mi Gila Levanai Rozeh Shemalachei Hasharis Mishtamshin Bo. Who revealed, a baskal came out of the heavens and said, who revealed this secret to my children, the secret that the angels use? What does that mean? David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Baruch Hu Hashem Malachav Gibore Koach Osei Devaro Lishmoa B'Kol Devaro. In other words, in the world of the angels are doers before they even are able to hear or to understand something. Beresha Osei, first they do, Vahadar Lishmoa, and only afterwards to listen. So Hashem was blown away. A baskal came out of the heavens and said, wow, how did Klal Yisrael know to say Nasa v'Nishma? That's unbelievable. That's the level of the Malachim. Not a small thing at all. And that's why the angels themselves came down and placed two crowns on each of our heads, a crown for Nasa and a crown for Nishma. More than that, says the Tolna Rebbe. Chazal tell us further in Shabbos Daf Peites, However, do you remember this Gemara? The Gemara in Shabbos says that Hashem is deciding what's going to be with Klal Yisrael. And Avram Avinu is not coming to our defense. And Yaakov Avinu is not coming to our defense. Yitzchak Avinu, remarkably, Yitzchak Avinu is the one who comes to defend Klal Yisrael. It's interesting, by the way, in the three Avos and the three Regalim, we know that Avraham is Pesach, Yaakov is Sukkot, and Yitzchak is Shavuos. So it fits actually nicely with what we're learning. So La'asid Lavo, Yomer Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYitzchak, Banecha Chatu Li. Hashem is going to say to Yitzchak, your children have sinned against me. Amar Lefanav Ribono Sho'olam, my children and not your children. B'sha Shekdimu Lefanecha Nasa L'Nishma, Karasa Lahem B'ni B'chori. When they said Nasa v'Nishma, remember how proud you are, Hashem? When the Jewish people said Nasa v'Nishma, Harei shetevos elu shol Nasa v'Nishma heim ha'pischon peh b'fi Yitzchak b'tainas ha'sanigurin shalo aleinu v'her b'yameinu amen. Apparently, these two words, Nasa v'Nishma, is the opening defense that Yitzchak uses, what? To defend Klal Yisrael. To say good about the Jewish people. To serve as what? As a sanegor, as an advocate. As someone to save Klal Yisrael. He saves Klal Yisrael, he's saying, come on Hashem, it's true, we make a lot of mistakes, Jews are very imperfect. But come on, we said Nasa v'Nishma. Did you forget that they said Nasa v'Nishma and how proud you are? So all of these Mar Makomos, again, the fact that we said it and the angels place crowns on our head. The fact that Hashem said, wow, who revealed the secret to my children? The secret of the angels. And the fact that Yitzchak uses Nasav and Ishmael to save and to defend Klal Yisrael La'asid Lavo all highlight the fact that Nasav and Ishmael was such an unbelievable moment in Jewish history. However, there's another side to the story that maybe you've never heard before. And it's based on a Tosefta in Bava Kama. And it's actually quite sad and quite confusing. Ulam me'idach gisa, on the other hand, David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, David HaMelech writes a very painful expression, Vayifasuhu befihem uvilchshonam yechazvu lo, that we deceived, we tricked Hashem with our mouths, with our tongues we lied to him, v'libam lo nachon imo, v'lo ne'emnu v'vriso, our hearts, our minds were not really in it. And Chazal explain in the Tosefta and Bava Kama that this pasuk is a reference to Matan Torah. That as we stood there receiving the Torah from Hashem, pretending that we're so excited to get the Torah, we were actually, our hearts were not really in it. It was lip service. We were saying the right things, but we didn't really feel it. V'chein matzino, the Tosefta says, Kishahayu Yisrael omdim al har Sinai, bikshu lignoves das elyona. What an unbelievably painful Maimar Chazal. When we stood at Har Sinai, we attempted to what? To perform Genevas Das on Hashem. We were pretending that if we talk the talk, it doesn't matter that we're not really feeling it, and as if Hashem's not going to catch us. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Mishpatim, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nasa V'Nishma, we claimed, oh yeah, we'll do everything. Kiviyachol Nignav Hulam. As if we're going to trick Hashem. Hashem knows we're not going to do everything. As the pasuk says in Parshas Va'aschanan, who can make it happen that the minds and the hearts of Klal Yisrael as they are right now will remain this way? And the answer is no one can. So stop talking on such a high level. You're not really holding there. Im tomer she'ina kol galoy lefanav. Does Hashem not know what's going on? V'halo kfar nemar, v'yifatu b'fiyem v'lshonam yechazvu lo, v'libam lo nachon imo v'lo nemnu v'viso. Hashem knew exactly. David HaMelech knew how much our heart wasn't fully there. You don't think God knew? More than that, another medrash in Shemos Rabbah, Rabbi Meir Omer, hayu omdim b'sinai ba'amru b'fiyem nasa v'nishma. Yes, while our lips were saying nasa v'nishma, v'libam hayu mechuvan la'avodas kochavim. And yet our hearts were still trapped in the world of Mitzrayim. We were still makusher to the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. We were still already at Har Sinai looking towards the Egel. We were very convoluted people. Shenemar ve'yifatu b'fiyam. We deceived Hashem. Pitoy, deception. We deceived Hashem with our mouths. So, chevra, we have two very, very different mahalchim in Chazal, and we're very confused at this point. On the one hand, Nasav and Ishmael, wow, who knew this? How did Klal Yisrael figure out the secret? And the angels give us crowns. And Yitzchak Avinu uses us to defend us when we're seemingly unable to be defended. And yet, you have this Tosefta and Bava Kama, you have the Medrash and Shmos Rabbah, that the whole thing was a farce. The whole thing wasn't real. And part of what makes the question so confusing is the following. Says the Tolna Rebbe Shlita, we need to think about this in a deep way. It's very confusing. How could it be? How could it be that when we said Nasa v'nishma, Yardu malachei asharis, angels came down? Who sent down the angels? B'shlichuso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem sent them down to tie crowns to our heads. And the Baskol came out of Shemayim and said, who revealed the secret of the angels to my children? And this is the defense, Lasid Lavo. So on the one hand, Hashem clearly felt, if he put crowns on our heads, he sent angels to reward us, it must be that what? It must be that it wasn't really fake. Hashem would have known if it was fake. Hashem chose to reward us. Hashem allows Yitzchak to defend us with Nasav and Ishmael. And yet, Me'idach Gisa, on the other hand, and yet David HaMelech is also telling us an inner truth that what? It was a moment of tremendous rebellion. We were playing games with God. We were lying to Hashem. So how could it be on the one hand that Hashem is sending the angels down from Shemayim to reward us by placing crowns on our head, and at the same time, the truth of the matter is, we weren't really there. How could that be? So, Chevra, there's a line in the Zohar, and actually we learned it a long time ago, way back at the beginning of the year when we were talking about the nature of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. Is it a happy day? Is it a sad day? The Rambam says we don't say Hallel because it's not Simcha Yaseira, which is mashma that it is a day of Simcha, but it's not so much a Simcha. It's a Pachad. The Gemara and Erechin, the books are open. Hashem is going over our account. How can we say Hallel at a time where people's lives are on the line? And we learned at that time a line in the Zohar. We're going to review it right now. And it's very much a feeling that many of us are grappling with at this very moment. I was talking to someone in the shir yesterday who went to a wedding last night, and he was saying the mixed emotions that he has. On the one hand, it's so hard to muster up the strength to be besimcha in a real way in light of the horrific tragedy of Klal Yisrael. And at the same time, I'm not going to dance at my friend's wedding. I'm not going to give the chasan and kala the day that they've been waiting for. It's very confusing. But the Zohar says that the depths of the Jewish heart allows for contradictions, or what appears on the surface to be a contradiction. V'nir dahabir ha'amiti b'zehu. D'hinei k'noda b'leiv kol adam yesh asara amakim omek lifnim me'omek. We know from the Svarim HaKadoshim that there are 10 depths, 10 dimensions, 10 layers, 10 chambers, right? 10 amakim, 10 depths of the heart. V'yesh l'cholis b'leiv ha'adam La'achil beiz hargashos hasosros zo ezo min akotze lakotze. And it's possible for a heart to contain two emotions that are sosros, that contradict one another, from one extreme to the other extreme. It could be your best friend is getting married today, and you're thinking, one of the saddest tragedies that Klal Yisrael has seen, maybe in history, certainly in recent years, and I'm supposed to now go see so cruel, when maybe I'm even coming from paying a shiva call. And yet, a Jewish heart is able to contain opposite emotions, sometimes even extremely opposite emotions. Like the Zohar says, Amar Abelazar, Bechia tekia belibe misitra chada, v'chedvasa belibe misitra achra. Bechia, sadness, crying, is inserted into the heart from one side, and joy and simcha fills the heart on the opposite side. Libo shel adam yachol la'achil beiz hargashim eilu shel bechia michad v'simcha meidach. A Jewish heart can contain within it two opposing emotions, crying, broken on one side, and feeling so overjoyed on the other side. Ba'oso harega v'al oso hadavar atzmo. And it can happen at the same moment, and by the way, it could even happen with the same experience. What we're learning about Har Sinai is not two different experiences. We're learning one experience, which Chazal on the one hand say was the most real, sincere Nasa v'Nishma, and at the same time, the whole thing was fake. So how could that be? Was it real or was it fake? And the answer is, it was both. How could it be both? Says the Tolner Rebbe, Me'ata nuchalomar, Sheba emes, kishabene Yisrael, anu va'amru, Nasa v'Nishma, Azai hayamakom belibam shebeemes rotza v'chafetz l'kabelas devar Hashem v'ez torasom. There was a part of them that really desired the Torah, and they didn't matter what the Torah would say; they were prepared to do it. Val kein, therefore, they responded all together b'shata chada nasev v'nishma. Val chelak ze belibam shayachafetz b'devar Hashem kiblu b'nei Yisrael asiksarim. And that part, that dimension of the Jewish heart, was real, and it deserved to be crowned by angels. And that's why the angels came down from Shemayim and what? And placed those crowns on their head. But David HaMelech said, and again, it's part of being a human being, living with mixed emotions. David HaMelech reveals to us that what? That their heart was not fully there. Sheba'osa shal libam hayachaluk alamakom. That at that same exact moment, their heart was divided. V'lo b'chol libam hayuchfetzim b'dvar Hashem. There was a part of them that was so excited to get the Torah. There was a part of them that was terrified to get the Torah. I was talking to someone recently who was getting married. And he said to me, I said, Nu, how are you feeling? He's like, I'm so excited, but I'm so scared. I said, okay. Not a contradiction. You're nervous. You're unsure. What is marriage? What's that going to actually look like? It's a big change in a person's life. But he loves the person he's engaged to. He's so excited. And Mirtz Hashem to get married. So which is it? Shouldn't one trump the other one? And the answer is no, it's okay to have mixed emotions. And Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, there was a part of them that was so eager to be mekabel the Torah, that the Nasa and Ishmael was real. And there's a part of them that what? That wasn't fully there. It was not yet ready to commit wholeheartedly. There's a line the Talmud Yerushalmi has in Maseches Shkalim, which really captures the complexity of a Jew. I remember the first time I saw this line, and I remember saying, wow, that is so true. Listen to this line. The Gemara says in Shkalim, Am Rabbi Ava Bar Acha, Ein ata yochel lamor al ufyo shel umazu. Sometimes you can't grasp the essence of this people. You can't understand the nature of the Jewish people. We're so conflicted sometimes. Sometimes Jews do such beautiful, pure, holy things, and that same Yid could sometimes do such perverse, unholy things. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says, it's hard to define, it's hard to grasp the essence of this people. Nitva in le'egel v'nosnin. When there's a tzedakah campaign to raise money for the Egel Hazav, the Jews gave generously. Nitba in Lemishkan, when there was a tzedakah campaign to raise money for the Mishkan, the Jews gave generously. So what are you people? And the answer is, we're human beings. And yes, we have a Yetzer Tov, which helps us reach the highest heights. We have a Yetzer Hara, which sometimes brings us to the lowest depths. Those who've learned Maseches Megillah might remember the Gemara's Drasha about the Jews being compared to the sand and Jews being compared to the stars. When we rise to the heights, we rise to the highest heights. When we fall sometimes to the lowest, dirtiest places. So we're an extreme people. V'zeo sh'amru Chazal. And that's what Chazal are revealing to us. That when a Jew stands at Har Sinai, and Chavar, it's less than 2 weeks to Shavuos, today's the 37th day of the Omer, when a Jew stands at Har Sinai, when a Jew comes to Shavuos, there's a part of you that says, I want my whole life to be Torah. And there's a part of you that might still feel burdened by Torah. And you're saying it, but you don't mean it at all. That you have a lot of questions on Hashem. And you don't understand why this or that matters. Right? And it's okay and it's realistic to be a conflicted person. It's okay to have mixed emotions. It's normal to be crying in one part of your heart and to be laughing in the other part of your heart. That's what Rabbi Akiva himself was doing at the end of that Gemara in Makos. When all the other Tanayim were crying, Rabbi Akiva was also laughing. He wasn't only laughing, he was crying and he was laughing. And they said, how can you laugh at a time like this? And he said, what do you mean? I live with mixed emotions. I'm crying over the Chorban in front of my eyes, and I'm smiling and laughing over the future spot of the Bayis HaShlishi. So a Jew is able to live, again, with mixed emotions. And I think that's a really important point, especially during these days. I was speaking to a group of high school girls yesterday, and I said to them, you probably feel bad. I said to them, you probably feel bad about like even enjoying your lunch tonight. And one girl, I felt bad caring about anything. These girls are, some of them are studying for the AP history exam. Like everything seems inconsequential. Everything seems trivial compared to 45 Jews being trampled to death. And on a certain level, they're right. Who cares about AP history when Klal Yisrael's mourning? But at the same time, you studied all year for it. You have to do your best and go take the test. And you have to be able to compartmentalize your different emotions. And that's okay. And that's part of the very nature of Klal Yisrael. So at Har Sinai, on the one hand, the Jews were like, yes, we love Torah, Nasa v'Nishma, sign us up. And there was a part of them that was what? That was saying the words but didn't mean it at all. And that's okay. And that's okay. That's part of being a human being. And especially part of being a Jew. So now, Chaver, let's understand exactly what were the mixed emotions of Har Sinai. Okay? And we're going to learn something that the Tolna Rebbe, in my opinion, is one of the healthiest tzaddikim that I've ever met. Healthy in the sense that what? He's so balanced and he's so down to earth and he's so accessible in this way. And you'll see it. You'll see how he presents a very balanced approach in his Torah. I'm very, very attracted to his Torah and to his Shi'urim. He presents in a very beautiful and very down to earth way, while being at the same time a very elevated tzaddik. So here's what he writes. What happened at Har Sinai? And what happens, by the way, when a person gets really into learning Shana Aleph, right? And then, you know, goes back Shana Bet, maybe gets even more into it. And then a couple of years down the road, he's like a little bit burnt out and he's not so on fire anymore. Where does that come from? And how do we become healthy, balanced, growing Jews? So says the Talmud Rebbe, Where did this contradiction come from? It came from the great anticipation and the excitement. That came from what? That came from the Luchos Rishonos, from the first two Luchos. How were the first Luchos given? How were the second Luchos given? And how did that impact our emotions? Let me explain, says the Talmud Rabbi. Sometimes a person really wants something. But he doesn't care about it enough that he's willing to do anything for it. Sometimes a person is in love and they'll go ad hasof, you know, for that love, for that relationship. Sometimes there's something that you really, really want in life. Right, but at a certain point, you're saying, like, okay, at this point, it's just not worth it. Right, it's too much mesiras nefesh. I thought I really wanted it, but I'm not prepared to be moser nefesh. I'm not prepared to invest more emotional energy. I'm not prepared to put my life on the line for it. There's things that we want in varying degrees. So if a person says, I want that, I desire that thing with all my heart and all my soul, and I'm prepared, I would give my life for that thing. And if you ask that person, really, you would actually give your life for that thing? I wouldn't actually give my life for that thing, but I really, really, really want it. So you're a liar. You said you're prepared to go all in, and you're not really prepared to go all in. Well, I mean, like, not all in, but I would go a lot of the way. I would put a lot into it. Yeah, but you said you want it with all your heart and all your soul. So that's not honest. Yeh shakran ba'flagazu. So you're a liar in the sense that you're exaggerating. Even though you're saying something which is rooted in the truth, you really want it greatly. And that's why you're speaking in such an exaggerated fashion. But you're not really prepared to go ad hasof. He wants the thing very badly, but not to the point of mesiras nefesh. Says the Tolna Rebbe, that's what happened with Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. We wanted the Torah really, really badly. We spoke in a way that was slightly exaggerated, and Hashem was able to acknowledge both aspects of that expression. Hashem was able to say, Yashar Koyach, here's a crown on your head because you want the Torah so badly, and it's true, and I know it's true. I can see it in your heart. But I also could see that you stopped short of what you really said. You said, I'm prepared, Nasav and Ishmael, I'm prepared to do anything for Hashem, but you're not really prepared to do anything for Hashem. You're not 100% ready to go all in. Now, where did this come from? How does a person say something like that? That's not true. How does a person say, my whole life depends on it? Really your life depends? Not really, but it's really important to me. So why did you say your life depends on it? Why did you speak that way to begin with? He explains that on the Rabbi, Ach machmas ha'eslavus ha'gedola shahaisa kodem matan Torah. Sometimes a person gets, you know, all fired up about something, right? And they start to say things that they didn't really mean. That they crossed certain lines in terms of expressing themselves. And it was coming again from a real inner ratzon, but not on the madrega that they were speaking on. So that his slavas that they had for Torah caused them to say certain things, which in some ways were true and in some ways were exaggerated. And that's what Chazal are telling us. It was true enough that the angels rewarded us with crowns. It was true enough that Yitzhak Avinu can use it to defend us, Lasilavo. It was true enough that a baskol screamed out of the Shemayim, wow, how did the Jews figure out to even talk in this way? But David HaMelech reveals to us, and the Tosefta, and the Medrash, and Shemos Rabbah revealed to us, but it wasn't really 100%. It wasn't really, really 100%. So, Chevra, now listen to this Svasamas. Ubir inyan ha'eslavis harishona, hazos, beluchos harishonos. Let's explain a little bit more. Let's try to understand again the psychology of a Jew who just left Mitzrayim. Now he's standing at Har Sinai. The sights, the sounds, the opportunity to accept and become part of the team of the one who took you out of Mitzrayim, who saved you. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisich Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Let's understand what happened with those first luchos. The Sfasemis writes in Parshas Kisisa from the year 1879. A yisod gadol v'norah b'darchei avodah. Chaver, listen carefully. It really is an amazing yisod. Rashi says the difference between the first luchos and the second luchos was the following: Harishonos al yedei shahayu b'tshuos v'kolos v'kihilos. is the Lashon of Rashi, the first luchos, which were given with noise and with, you know, sound, tremendous sounds and just totally overwhelming, shalta behen ayin ra. Because it was done in such a loud and public fashion, because it was so out there, the ayin ra came and caused the first luchos to be shattered. Because ein lecha mida yafa merat tznias. Because there's nothing better than tznias. When do we get the second luchos? We learned yesterday on Yom Kippurim. And it's quiet, and it's more calm, and it's not so flashy. And that's really important for stability. When something is too loud and too energetic, you have to be nervous that maybe it's not coming from a pure place. That when Rav Chaim Volozhiner came to talk to his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, about opening the Volozhin Yeshiva, right? The Vilna Gaon wasn't overly enthusiastic about it because he felt that Rav Chaim Volozhiner was like a little bit too on fire for it. You have to give it some time, let the idea settle into place, see if it really makes sense. Ein lecha yafa menetznias. No, so what's the Sfas Emes' question? So the Sfas Emes says, so why weren't the first luchos given bitzina? Why did Hashem put on a rock concert for the first luchos? You know, with lights and sounds. Like, why did Hashem make it, right? Why did Hashem make it so overwhelming in terms of the sensory experience if that was a bad idea? And the answer, says the Sfas Emes, and listen carefully because it's really important. Sfas Emes says, because you need both. You need both. Aval bevadai shneim tzrichen. Sfas Emes explains, we need both. You need that drive, you need that passion, you need that energy, or you're just going to be a cold parv Jew. Ki lule haslavas hakodem befirsum, if there wouldn't be such an open and loud and energetic giving of the Torah, lo haya achar kach yecholas leilech b'derach tznius. Then the Torah is energetic, the Torah is colorful. You need all of that. Rakal yedei shekvar hegdimu b'kolei kolos, when they first had, again, it was unsustainable. You can't be a Shana Aleph Bacher your whole life. You have to grow and mature spiritually. You're not going to, you know, you can't, right? Why do we stay, I always ask the question, why do we stay up all night learning Torah on Shavuos? Why do I do that? Is it like the new me? Oh, now all of a sudden I'm Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I stay up all night learning Torah? Like starting from Shavuos, I'm going to actually make a change in my life? No, so maybe I should do something that's sustainable. And the answer is, part of the answer is, we want to do something that's not sustainable. Because we want to show how crazy we are about Torah, even though it's totally unrealistic. We eat Pas Yisrael during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, even if I'm not makpid on it all the time. Why? Because I want to go above and beyond. There's times to go above and beyond, even if I have no intention of making it last. But it's because of that energy and that burst of excitement at the beginning, then I can balance myself out and I can operate more tzanua, a little more reserved. Vizel limud ledoros. And Hashem wanted to teach that for all generations. That you need the hislavus, and you also need what? You also need the balance. You need the yishuv adas. You need the calm. Ki betchila tzarach lios bislavus otzum. At first you need tremendous energy. Ve'im ki lo ya nishar zos hislavus davar shal kayama. And even though that hislavus is not lasting, im kol zeh hu ha'itza gam liyamei hayarida achar kach. But knowing that I tasted how energetic, how on fire Torah was, that allows me to what? That allows me to then become a more balanced person and to be able to continue throughout life. So therefore, says the Talmud Rebbe, this Yisod of the Sfas Emes, it's so important. It's such a simple question. Why give the first luchos in a way that was doomed to break? But there was a lesson to be learned from the energy of luchos rishonos. Lamadu imkein. Ki ha'eslavus harishona ha'isen itzreches. That initial eslavus is needed. Ela shayitzricham lizar lezachech eslivam. Shelo yubo pnios nosafos umenugados. Right? To make sure that we don't have all sorts of ulterior motives and all sorts of contradictory feelings in the heart. Again, it has a time and a place. But the goal is to be able to then create an honest and stable model of existence. Okay? So, Chaver, when it comes to Torah, and now the Talmud Rebbe is going to take us down one more final big step. He says, when it comes to Torah, a person, again, needs the balance of kind of the fast and the energetic and the slow and the diligent. It has to go hand in hand. And here's how he proves it with the Gemara out of next year's Masechta Bava Basra. Bava Basra, Kuf Mem Vav Amar Aleph. The Gemara says that Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, said, Maisa, Gemara tells a funny story. Maisa ba'adam echad, sheshigir lebeis chamiv yayin chadash v'shemen chadash uklei pishtan chadash batzaras. Once upon a time, there was a son-in-law who sent his father-in-law new wine and new oil and pishtan and flax garments, right? New garments on a tzaris, on shavuos. Well, what? Why is the Gemara telling us this? My kamash malon, what's the point of telling us this? The Gemara has several possibilities. One opinion is, Iba yaseima, chashivusa d'Eretz Yisrael kamash malon. It shows us the chashivus of Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? It shows us the chashivus of Eretz Yisrael. The Rashbam explains, what's the shevach of Eretz Yisrael? Shema maheres levashal peirosea batzeres. That in Eretz Yisrael, the fruits are already starting to ripen on Atzeres. So he sends a gift to Eretz Yisrael of wine and of oil and of new garments, right? All indicating that look how the produce of Eretz Yisrael is growing so beautifully and so quickly. Okay, fine, very nice. This inyan of clay pishtan, of linen garments, right, has a unique connection to the Jewish people. Clay pishtan, linen garments, are uniquely Jewish. Where do we see such an idea? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that when Bilam decides to go back to tell his people about, they better watch out, they better figure out how to deal with these Jews, because if you don't deal with the Jews properly, they're going to destroy you. So he says, listen, maybe we can convince them to get involved in lewd behavior. After all, their god is Sone Zimahu, their god hates perverse behavior, Vehemis Avim Leklei Pishtan, and these Jews desire linen garments, and therefore they sold us linen garments at good prices, and then they got involved with us, and next thing you know, there was all sorts of sexually immoral activity taking place. What's with Jews and clay pishtan? Says the Tolna Rebbe, why do Jews have a taiva, Mis Avim Leklei Pishtan? That Jewish people have a taiva for clay pishtan. The Marsha explains, Lefi shekvar b'mitzrayim ha-pishtan matzui. Apparently they were used to it. You know, when a person gets used to wearing a certain type of garment, right? If you always walk around in shorts and t-shirt, and then you take a job where you have to wear a suit and tie, right? So you'll find yourself very uncomfortable. It may be that a suit and tie is not so uncomfortable for most people, but you're used to wearing something different. So in Mitzrayim, where pishtan, where flax, where linen was abundant, so because of that, the Jews were accustomed to wearing that, and therefore that was what they enjoyed wearing. The 40 years in the Midbar, they didn't have it so much, and therefore Bilam comes up with this idea: let's offer them something that will give them a sense of nostalgia, and they'll enjoy it very much. Interesting. But furthermore, says the Talmud Rabbi, we find that clay pishtan is actually a sign of something chashuv. We know that when Yosef is appointed Mishnah LeMelech, so Paro takes off his ring, and he places it on Yosef's hand, Vayalbeisho so bigdei sheish, and he garbs him in what? In linen garments, in bigdei pishtan. And Rashi explains over there in Parshas Mikates that bigdei sheish is davar chashivas hu b'mitzrayim. It was considered what? A very desirable garment in Mitzrayim. Okay, interesting. So the Jews had this unusual and interesting connection to clay pishtan, having to do with their experience in Mitzrayim, or maybe Yosef's experience in Mitzrayim. And then the Talmud Rebbe says, but I'll tell you one more thing about clay pishtan. And that's what the Navi Yirmiyah says. The Navi Yirmiyah warns us of what? Of false prophecies. The Navi Yirmiyah warns us, be careful. Don't be drawn after the Nevi'ei Sheker, who offer all sorts of false hope. Ki ko amar Hashem Tzavakos, the Navi says in the 29th chapter of Yirmiyah. Ko amar Hashem Tzavakos Elokei Yisrael. Al yashiu lachem nivieichem asher bekirbachem. Do not be deceived by the false prophets amongst you. Do not be tricked by the kosmeichem, right? Those who are involved in all sorts of sorcery and witchcraft and palm reading and all sorts of predictions, all sorts of dreams that they offer interpretations of which are not true. Because Hashem said there's going to be a 70-year period of galus, and it's only at the end of that period is there going to be a true salvation, right? Okay, and then the pasuk says, "Ki anochi adati asamach hashavos, asher anochi choshev aleichem nom Hashem, machshavos shalom v'lo ra, laseis lahem achris v'tikva." Hashem says, I have a plan for you. You have what to hope for and what to look forward to in the future. The Gemara in Maseches Tanis explains, to give us an achris, to give us a future, to give us a tikva, to give us a hope, Amar of Yehuda, Breder, Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei Derav, Elu Dekalim, Uklei Pishon. I'm going to give you a hope that refers to palm trees and linen garments. What? Explains the Marsha, yes, because Dekalim and Klei Pishon are Dvarim HaMeskaimim, the things that apparently last for a significant period of time. So says the Tolna Rebbe the following idea. Let's think about it now for a second. Hinei Bnei Yisrael Biyosam Bamidbar. The Jewish people are wandering in the Midbar for 40 years on their way to Eretz Yisrael. They were in a Bechina of Vayisu Vayachano. Right? They went from here, they went to there. They went from here, they went to there. They were all over the place. Shinadidu Mimakum Lamakum. V'nafshim Haiser Re'eva LeBechina Zushal Kviyas Makum Uzman. And they were desperately longing to have a sense of stability in their lives. The Klei Pishtun and the Klei Pishtun reminded them of something what? Of a Davar Shel Kayama. Something that lasts. Again, like the Gemara in Tanis says, and the Marasha explains, that Klei Pishtun are Dvarim HaMiskaimim. So therefore, when the Jews were in the wilderness, they so badly wanted to acquire Klei Pishtun because Klei Pishtun gave them a sense of stability. It alludes to a sense of stability. And yet, at the same time, we use the Klei Pishtun as an example of what? In the Gemara in Bava Basra, as an example of what? As the praise of Eretz Yisrael, because things grow more readily, more quickly in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Tolna Rebbe, as we come to the last page, says the Tolna Rebbe, V'enei'af im yesh ma'ili yaseira ba'asiyah, mizurezes u'mehira. On the one hand, we speak about the importance of being zariz, doing things quickly, a sense of zrizos. Me'idach, on the other hand, ha'mehiras yesh ba'chisaron t'midi shalchos ra'echos. Often when you try to do something quickly, it lacks in quality. So you often have to make a choice. Would I rather have something done more quickly, even if it's not going to be as high quality, or would I rather wait a little bit and receive a higher quality product? Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara in Ksuba says, Amr Rav Chista, Mai Dichsiv, Etein Lecha Eretz Chemda Nachla Svi. Why is Eretz Yisrael compared to a Tzvi? Lomar Lecha, Ma Tzvi Ze Kal Mikol Lachayos. Just like a deer is very swift, very quick, so too Eretz Yisrael is kal lemikol ha'aretzos levashal es peirosea. Eretz Yisrael is very quick to produce produce, as we see, the wonderful and wondrous produce of Eretz Yisrael. But friends, here's the punchline. The chiddush of Eretz Yisrael is that even though Eretz Yisrael produces quickly, it also produces high quality. And that's a chush of a thing. And therefore, when this son-in-law sent his father-in-law, Yayin Chadash, Shemin Chadash, Klei Pishtun Chadashim, and he sent it Dafka on Shavuos, what was he saying to his father-in-law? He was combining both the world of Chadash and the world of Yashan, old wine, right? Properly prepared Shemin, Klei Pishtun, which are garments that what? That last a long time. On the one hand, these things represent what? Things which improve with the passage of time. It takes time to age wine. At the same time, he was alluding to Eretz Yisrael being so swift, being able to do something quickly. And he was dafka sending this gift on Shavuos. Says the Tolna Rebbe, why do I care about one guy who sent new wine and new oil and new linen garments to his father-in-law on Shavuos to teach me about the Chashivas Eretz Yisrael? What is that? V'yesh lomar. The Adam Echad Sheshigar LeBeis Chamav, this individual who was sending to his father-in-law, alludes to the fact that what? A father-in-law means that there was a marriage. A father-in-law means that a wedding took place. Merameis L'Nesuei Knesset Yisrael L'Makadosh Baruch Hu. It reminds us again that on Shavuos there's a marriage that's taking place. The original marriage of what? The Jewish people and Hashem. Sheshigar LeBeis Chamav, Hainu L'Knesset Yisrael. Yayin Chadash, Shemin Chadash, Klei Pishtun Chadashim Hainu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending to Klal Yisrael on this awesome day, on the day of the Chasana, on the day of Matan Torah. Hashem is sending us Yayin and Shemen and Pishtun. And each one of them alludes to the first Luchos and the second Luchos. It alludes to the fact that sometimes you need that swiftness and that energy and that excitement, but you also need things that are what? That are quality, and their quality is enhanced by what? By the passage of time. yayin, shemen, pishtan, yesh lemes hamayla miyuchedes hazu. Sheshava bein shloshtan, shehem yacholin leisyashin. They all are able to age in a proper way. They're all able to last in a long way. Right? So on the one hand, they represent the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the newness, the excitement, the ability for something to happen quickly and with great zeal and with great energy. But it also represents the ability to what? To take it slow and to understand that there's a process. And therefore concludes the Tolna Rebbe. B'zeh ba'al l'lamdeinu b'chol shana v'shana. And therefore this little cryptic Gemara in Bava Basra, which again we're using just to broaden our understanding of the conflict the Jews themselves felt at Har Sinai. And the Sfas Emes' question, what do you need two luchos for? Why give us a luchos that are not going to last, only to then follow it up with a luchos that are much more stable? The answer is you need a combination of everything. You need new wine. Right? The whole beauty of wine is that it's old, but it's also new. It's highlighting this duality. On the one hand, says the Tolna Rebbe, every year when you come to Shavuos, a Jew has to think, this year I'm going to finish Shas, this year I'm going to learn Torah like crazy, this year I'm so excited to... And at the same time, whoa, slow down. If I'm going to have any success, it's going to be by being balanced and level-headed. So Michar, on the one hand, Bislav is to Kedusha. A Jew needs to be on fire for Torah. And Eish Lahavas Shalheves Ka, Lavodas Haborei B'Simcha, with great energy and excitement to be on fire to serve Hashem and to learn His Torah. And at the same time, to make sure that I understand the Messinas, the value of what? Of learning one Mishnah a day. The value of learning one Pasuk a day. The value of learning one line of Gemara day in and day out. Or learning whatever it is, one Halacha a day. Right? Having a stability to oneself. That's how we reconcile kind of the mixed emotions of Har Sinai. Again, they had to say Nasa v'Nishma, because if they didn't, it would show that they don't fully appreciate what Torah is. But they also weren't really there. And that's okay for us to acknowledge. You can live with that. You can live with that contradiction. Okay, so Hashem should help us again at a time where our hearts feel very divided and very conflicted. But that's the Yisrael that we gave generously for the Egel, and we gave generously for the Mishkan. That sometimes I'm mamish, I do things that make me out to be a tzaddik, and sometimes I do things that make me to a rasha. Sometimes I'm on fire for Hashem, and sometimes I'm more reserved. So who am I? There is a human being and a Jew. Is a mix of a lot of different things. And I just try to not see them as contradictory in a way that I can't live, but to be able to try to work to, you know, to bring that heart together, the pieces of our heart, to make it more whole, and to be able to be makabel tok, but also in a patient and balanced way. Okay, so that is the first mimer of the Tolna Rebbe in his Sefer Butzina D'Oraisa on Shavuos.